This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 90, Linz.
Wow.
That's like...
Has it been 90 episodes?
It's been more than 90 because we've had bonuses and Game of Thrones and all sorts of stuff like that. But it's been 90 official weekly episodes.
That'd be well over 10 other episodes.
In excess of 10.
Mm.
It's well impressive.
Thank you so much. Mm. I wonder how many of them you've been in. About 10? Yeah, I'd say about 10.
Yeah.
Well done.
Oh, thanks, but really.
I think you did well.
It's like the difference between being clapped as a 10-year-old on a game show and being clapped as a 90-year-old. Right. Obviously, the 90-year-olds can get a standing ovation.
Yeah, every time.
I'm pretty impressed by a 10-year-old on a game show. What, they're probably going to have to run through a tunnel and put a shape through a thing.
And potentially find a letter.
Oh, so much letters or keys.
Yeah, keys.
Keys. Wow. There may be slime involved.
One can only hope, right?
Oh, I hope I get to dress like a pirate and fight on a plank.
And then land in jelly, which is actually just foam.
Oh, sure. The red cut up foam that looks like jelly. Know it well.
It's kind of like every kid's dream to have that and or like Scrooge McDuck's money pool.
Oh, of course.
Was that more like an adult stream?
I don't know. I think Shay would be pretty into the idea of living in a house of bath bombs. She likes a bath bomb.
She does.
That's pretty exciting.
It is.
It's and one thing and then it's another. Ugh, oh, slime. Yeah, slime. Slime's like this evergreen popularity. Like popular
slime
thing.
Is worse.
We will
death to slime.
It's this weird thing where you don't have an opinion about slime until you've got kids and then... You hate slime.
My friend got slime bath, which was a big mistake because the slime wouldn't rinse out of the bath for weeks. So every time she went to have like a nice relaxing Sunday night bath, she'd be like slipping.
Oh, gross.
What do they call it? Like a pig in oil or something like that.
She ended up all slimy afterwards. Yeah. That's not a nice feeling. That's like when you don't properly rinse off the soap and you're like, oh, I didn't do that properly. I don't know how to shower or bathe properly.
What do you mean you rinse the soap?
Off your skin. If you don't rinse it off properly,
yes,
you just end up slimy. I thought you
were particular about your post-shower.
Nah. I find showering just annoying. It's just showering is a list of chores you've got to get through.
Nah.
You love it?
Yeah. That's sleeping for me.
Yeah.
So I get that feeling. But nah, I like a good shower. Freshen up. Mm. New exciting smells for the day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good way of looking at it.
I'm a sweaty sleeper. So I wake up. Oh.
Yeah. You've been through a lot.
It's a thing.
All right. We're going to be talking about some movies. We've all been to the cinema this week.
With popcorn.
Yeah. So we'll have a chat about the things, what we be watched.
There's loads of trailers.
Yeah, a lot of trailers.
Still coming out thick and fast.
I've got a quiz that I've had ready for about, feels like 82 weeks, but it's only been about three. It's a good one. I'm really impressed with it.
Awesome.
And some news stories. Who wants to kick off the news stories?
I'll do some news.
Yes.
Good. I thought it was a good reaction. So the biggest news of the week... We're not going to talk about in this. We're going to break off and do a separate podcast, which is that Universal announced a new theme park coming called Universal's Epic Universe or Universes.
When they workshopped that was one of the first ones, and they went, oh, we should probably workshop a few more. And then they realized, no, the first one was the best.
Well, it makes it the acronym of EW, which is
didn't
weird.
Think about that.
Apparently it was going to be called Fantastic Worlds, and Warner Brothers had a big issue with that because of Fantastic Beasts and the connotation of, hey, that's too much Harry Potter.
Okay.
Anyway.
So this is in Orlando.
It's called Fourth Gate, gate is the term for a park. Disney has four gates and two water parks. Universal has two gates and a water park that they bought and it was a Wet and Wild or something, and they turned it into Volcano Bay, and that they're going to be building this new park. So this announcement happened. No rides confirmed, no lands confirmed, nothing specifically confirmed. We don't have a date of when it's meant to be opening. It could be, it won't be. It could, in a dream universe, be in 2 years. Mm. It's more likely between 4 and 8 years. But it's this is a big deal. It's the biggest park that's been built this century.
Exciting.
And when we went to Universal, it was felt so modern and...
Yes.
So this one just kind of blowing out of the water.
Of roller coaster experiences.
That's right.
Being very immersive.
Mm.
So I'm putting a pin in this conversation because we've got plenty more. I've been sleuthing around everywhere to find out what I can, and there's some inside word on what some of the rides and lands might be.
Okay. So, all right. So listen out in the next week.
Yep.
Or week and a half.
Oh, a couple of days,
couple
I reckon.
Couple of days.
Yeah. I'm keen to talk about it.
Cool. All right.
Get your holiday for the future.
Yeah. Your next 4 years planned laid out.
Yes. Yes. In terms of renewals and cancellations, there's not much new renewal news this time of year, but the Oa has been cancelled.
I saw that.
From Netflix. So yeah. They had two seasons. I never really caught.
It's pretty standard for Netflix.
It really is. Yeah. It didn't surprise me much. Mm. A lot of people are quite upset about this. I got it confused with The Expanse.
Oh, yeah.
And then The 100, which I didn't even know was still going.
You were just like, what's a face left to go to Fear?
And that was it. Years ago.
Like 5 years, maybe more.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I think she went in season 2 or 3. Mm. I watched a little bit at the start because one of the guys from Lost was on it didn't keep with it. I know a lot of people that absolutely love that show and have gone through a real roller coaster of fandom for it, of adoring it for being a bit of a critical darling, and then it losing some of its luster, and then fridging some characters and making some very iffy decisions that the fan community didn't enjoy.
Oh,
so anyway,
disappointing.
They'll be finishing this year with season 7 on their own terms, so it's not like a
that's
flat
good.
Cancellation.
Yeah, they get to finish the story.
Yeah. The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw that there's a little bit more info about the movie Dune, or at least this iteration of the movie Dune. It's getting a 2020 release date, December 18th. It's going to be on... That means it's going to be released around the same time as Steven Spielberg's West Side Story remake, Uncharted with Tom Holland, Nathan Drake. Eddie Murphy's Coming to America 2, Coming to America Again. I can't remember what that's called. But, yeah, they're all coming out all at once.
Let your soul go.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it going to be good?
I reckon.
Or is it – what are we expecting from good for it?
Eddie Murphy has gone past the parody, past the dressing up as a fat woman, past –
You mean peak
any,
Eddie?
any type of ridiculousness. So I bet he just does not care and he's just out to have some fun.
I really hope
so. Is Arsenio Hall
in it? I love that movie. He is. They're both signed on.
Good.
Yeah.
I really hope it's good. I don't... I have lost faith in the idea of a Eddie Murphy renaissance because he did Dreamgirls and that seemed like a perfect opportunity and nothing came of it for him.
Hmm.
So I'm hoping this could be another go. You know, if he's not going to get to do a Beverly Hills Cop and do the adult tough side, then he has to do Nutty Professor side. And so I can see Coming to America 2
being a
mix of those sort of two.
Yeah.
But can it survive without 80s music as its soundtrack?
Who says it's not going to have
that's
80s?
That's right.
Yeah, but that's something new. It can be nostalgic, but... It's got to be good as well.
So that bloke with the curly hair, Sol, he was in ER. What's his name? I feel like
Eric
his name's Eric.
Lassalle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's still around. He could still be a part of it.
Still a part of it.
And the lady who was married, the princess.
The McDougals.
Yeah, like she's, I'm sure, willing.
I don't know. So are you thinking like they should get a bunch of like mumble rappers or like modern hip-hop take?
Yeah,
like I could see
have that. Like, it's got to have the '80s beats.
I wasn't feeling it. And then you said that, and like, imagine if Kendrick did a Black Panther style album of getting everybody involved and doing '80s beats.
Yeah. And, got to have the people at the top of their game.
But
have,
Childish like, Gambino.
Yeah, get a Gambino, get a Chance the Rapper, and get them rapping like Run DMC style and Beastie Boys style, like that '80s patter style that is just not acceptable today.
Lil Nas X, I reckon, would be up for it if he's...
He seems keen to be involved with anything.
Finished all his remixes.
All of the things. So would those guys be Sexual Chocolate? Like, would they be that band? Or are they just in the soundtrack?
No, just like coming to me. Ugh, feel good.
Yes.
Like, just that 80s vibe. Yeah. Bringing it back. But I'm sure there'll be some Sexual Chocolate in there.
There'll be a whole lot of Sexual Chocolate in there.
Break you off a piece.
Iconic.
Yes. Oh, so iconic. Just remember him throwing down the microphone and they're just feedback and him desperately trying to get the crowd to clap. Sexual Chocolate. Brilliant.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What else have you got?
So in a little bit of superhero news, The Boys has already been renewed for season two. We mentioned that last week when we gave it a brief
There's
breakdown.
Just been so much talk about it.
There's a lot of hype about it. It's quite deservedly so. But they've confirmed that season two is going to have a character called Stormfront. It's been gender swapped. I've forgotten the name of the lady who's going to be playing Stormfront. In the comics, he was the world's first ever superhero, born in a lab during Nazi Germany period. So he's like mega right wing.
Yeah, right.
And like,
geez.
Still rocking that Nazi flag now. So he's kind of, they try and keep all of that quite quiet and they often relegate him to B or C grade teams where he's not in the public eye
just
nearly as
don't
much.
Don't get him to talk much. Is it's, that the kind of
it's
thing?
It's basically don't let granddad in front of the camera because he's going to say something inappropriate again.
So this character is now going to be played by a woman?
A younger woman. So I'm
this
not sure how they're going to flip
it.
It may just be that she doesn't age.
Yeah.
And still has those old ideals. But yes, it suggests that they're going to go down a pretty hot button route with that because this character inspires neo-Nazis everywhere and a general rhetoric that seems quite strong at the moment for some reason.
I don't get that. I wonder where that's
So that's
coming
for season
from.
Two. And then the Eric Kripke, who's the showrunner, formerly of Saw, he's still involved with Supernatural and he works on the show along with Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. He said that season three, they hope to get to a storyline from the comics called Herogasm, which is
powerful.
Well, it's a private party in a hotel resort on an island that you've got to be a superhero to get to, and where there's no witnesses, and it's the most debaucherous thing I've ever seen.
That sounds well
dodgy. It's so dodgy. It's like there is a pool. There's a thing called the orgy pool, and like the pool in the middle of the resort is just superheroes at it all the
time.
There
can't be much water left in there by the end.
There may be a water-based superhero involved.
Oh, hey.
This is what I'm
looping
saying.
Everyone up.
Yep. Big on tongues.
Okay.
So,
yeah, right.
Herogasm. You've heard it here first. It's the one part of the comic that I thought they'd never, like, there are certain things in there that they can't go near. I don't think they'll ever do the X-Men storylines because that's all about, like, a guy who basically collects urchins and orphans in order to groom them.
Oh, nah, that probably won't be a
story. So I don't see that one coming. And Herogasm is the crazy sex convention for superheroes. I didn't think they'd go near that. They'll find a way.
They will find a way.
This show is amazing.
A little toned down, perhaps. Work its way around in a clever way.
Maybe a touch.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, Runaways and Cloak and Dagger are going to be having a crossover in November. That's pretty cool because they are both on Hulu and they're sort of off to the side and they've not been involved in any of the Marvel stuff, so no one's really saw them all connecting. Having them crossover is pretty cool. And they've announced... Well, there's so much happening with the Arrowverse crossover at Christmas.
Very busy.
Brandon Routh is going to be playing Superman again, but not the Superman from Superman Returns.
Okay.
The movie that he was in, he's going to be playing Kingdom Come Superman, which is a very famous storyline. They've announced that Kevin Conroy, who is the voice of Batman on the 90s Batman cartoon, like when I close my eyes and think of Batman, he's is the voice that I hear. He is going to be in it somehow. What's his name? Bert. Adam West's sidekick, Robin. Bert Ward.
Bert Ward
from the 60s Batman show, who played Robin. He's going to be in it.
He's not going to be Robin.
I don't know, maybe.
He could be.
I could see him playing an Alfred.
Yeah.
Or some sort of role like that.
That'd be cool.
They're following everyone. Mm. The big one is they announced this morning that Black Lightning, who his show is on the same network as them but has always been separate, is going to be involved somehow.
Cool.
So all the multiverses are going to fold together.
It's fun.
Arrow's going to die.
Well,
it's going to be a thing.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. And the last.
Arrow and Arrow fans.
Sorry.
But it's going to be a thing.
It's going to be a thing. The last bit of comic book news I've got is that there's been a bit of a director war over the last few days of who's going to get the job for Venom 2. Because Ruben Fleischer, who directed the last one, he's been busy doing Zombieland 2, which comes out soon. And
looking forward to that. That should be a good movie.
Me too.
It looks good, the trailer so far.
It does.
Yeah.
So it came down to two people, Rupert Wyatt, who was very involved with the Planet of the Apes recent films and has done a great job, and the other one who, like 2 hours before we started recording, got confirmed, Andy Serkis.
Huh.
Is going to direct Venom 2, which your brain goes, hey, that's really cool, and that makes sense because he's like the motion capture guy. And then you think of Venom and you're like, hang on, how do they motion capture someone who's 8 foot tall and has eyes where our forehead is and a long, like, 4 foot tongue? And
He'll work it out.
I'm sure he will. He'll find a way. Like, he must have found a way to crack it.
He must have. Otherwise, it's a pitch, right?
Mowgli wasn't great. The Jungle Bookie one that he did, it was all right. But if they can do some cool stuff with the motion capture of making him more alien, I'm all for it. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Andy Serkis, that's a big gig.
That's something I didn't expect to be a thing. Yep. So that's cool.
And they've confirmed that Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, and Woody Harrelson.
I don't think Woody Harrelson has aged since about... when you watch Cheers, he does look... A lot younger. But I don't know, maybe like the early 2000s, he just manages to look the same.
Since that one with Bill Murray, what's the bowling one?
Kingpin. That's a great movie.
That is a good movie. I forgot that existed.
Natural Born Killers.
Like he looks like that still.
He still looks like that. And that was what, 95? 94 or even somewhere around there?
He's magic.
He and Paul Rudd visit the same people.
Yeah, they do.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Aubrey Plaza's going to do a movie called Black Bear with a couple of people who are in things, but she was kind of the main name that I got. It looks like it's going to be a bit scary. It's a thriller. It's almost single white female kind of thing, or mixed with a bit of Fatal Attraction. That's what it kind of sounds like. So a bit different for her.
Sure.
I know she's done Child's Play and superhero show. I've gone Legion.
Yes.
You know, so that was a bit different to what we usually know her as, but this is looking a bit serious. I don't know when it's coming out, but they're just announcing the cast. Oh, speaking of cast, you know how I always like to bring you a little bit of Bond news who's going
to
be in Bond?
I do know that. You do like to bring the Bond news.
Oh, I've got a big name this time.
Who's that?
So this bloke visited the Pinewood Studios in June, I think, and had a wander around. He thought it was rather good. So much so that Prince Charles will potentially be a cameo.
Oh, I hope he gives Bond a high five.
Me too.
That's all I want. Bond to go in for the handshake. Prince Charles go, no.
But you know what? Like, he's never going to be able to outshine his mother's performance with Daniel Craig's version of Bond. Like, she jumped out of a plane with a parachute.
At the Olympic opening.
Do you remember that? 2012 London.
Danny Boyle directed the opening.
So good.
For the thing, and Queen jumped out of a helicopter with a parachute.
Yeah. Oh, I must have been drunk that night.
You were.
I remember.
Was Prince Harry part of that? Was that
somehow.
High-fived her, or? I can't. I doubt they high five, but it was something cool. So Prince Charles says, he's got to bring it. He's got to bring it, ladies. He's got to bring it.
Do you think he'll be like, what would his role be? Because he can't be a bad guy.
He can't be a bad guy.
He's not going to let himself be portrayed as weak. So he's not going to be a hostage.
He has to be Prince Charles, right?
Or could he be like 002 and he's like a retired agent, but he's got to be number two because he'll never be number one.
Maybe he's like a keeper of like the jewels and he's like the key kind of guy.
Do you think they'll go the other way and like, could you imagine if Prince Charles got to play a hobo? Mummy, you won't believe. Where could they hide him? Like selling hot dogs?
Oh, no, he'd be gardening or selling flowers. He loves flowers and gardening.
He does love flowers. But imagine playing Where's Wally in a film, like Hitchcock style, but it's with Prince Charles that's hidden somewhere.
His hidden cameo.
Weren't Prince Harry and William in, I feel like I want to say Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But as stormtroopers. Yeah, stormtroopers. So I guess you look for the tall ones.
Most of Coldplay is in Shaun of the Dead like three times.
I have no recollection of any of that. Well, let's be honest. Does anybody know what any other member of Coldplay looks like?
Well, it's the drummer and Chris Martin. And they're at the beginning of the film when they're watching TV and they're being interviewed on like a music television show.
Oh, right.
And then at the end of the movie, when it's 6 months later, Chris is being interviewed and the drummer's a zombie. But there's That's also right. when when there's a big crowd scene outside the pub, the zombies in there.
They're zombies.
Yeah, there's heaps of UK comedians and musicians are in Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, it's a good one to watch for.
There I need go. To watch again.
You really do.
It's been a while, actually.
I watched that so many times. I stopped count at 42.
Crikey!
It's a safe zone movie. I can put it on and just it's there.
It's in the background. Yeah, you know what it is. You get to enjoy yourself. Hey, how weird was that Kevin Spacey reading a poem in
Don't like it.
A Roman museum?
Can we just collectively agree no more Kevin Spacey?
He's now reading poems at a museum, so I assume there's not going to be much more Kevin Spacey news.
But just like everyone just collectively agree, let's not.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like if he's at a museum, let's not.
Let's not.
Don't film it.
The ultimate ditch. Should you ever do that? Like get drunk with your friends and then ditch somebody like in the street. Just run. Yeah. Like, let's do that. It's Kevin Spacey. Let's ditch him.
Well, we live in a society. The Joker has told us that. In this society, we don't stand for his things. I'm saying it now. I will get. We should get stickers made that say, let's ghost Kevin Spacey. That's just it. You're done. It's going to be like parts of American Beauty.
Oh.
Oh, can you imagine if Kevin Spacey does end up working in a drive-thru, though? Everyone will go to that drive-thru.
All the time with their Instagram story filming. Here we go. We're doing it again.
Oh, did we just find a new career opportunity for Kevin Spacey? Damn it.
I thought you said we just wouldn't.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've got one last story that I thought you'd be interested in, Tom.
All right, you fire that and then I'll volley back.
All right.
I've got gossip.
Ooh. So you know how you ate a breakfast burrito?
Yes.
In the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge
place. Yeah.
It's not a ride. It's not an attraction. Yeah. Section of Disneyland.
A themed hub.
Ah, nice. Well, they've announced there's going to be a cookbook released for all the recipes that you can get at like all the food on the menus at the place that you went to is now going to be in a cookbook, so you can take that home and cook everything yourself.
Mm. In Disneyland?
Yeah.
So you can get a Monte Cristo, what's it?
No. Because that's only from that one place above Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Which this is Star Wars only. Just in the Star Wars place.
Oh.
Because that is an idea
If they did every restaurant.
Yeah.
That'd be a huge book. It'd have to be a best of.
It'd be a collector's item.
Yeah, it would be.
To have them all a sort of book. Imagine that on your bookshelf.
Each land, new cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And when you get them all together, it like has a picture of like the map or something. Fun.
That's cool. Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, I like that. This is coming out in the 5th of November, so just in time for potentially the opening of the next ride.
Was it a good breakfast burrito? Is it worth the chop? What? You want one of those? Well,
I didn't have the slaw because they put slaw on everything. I didn't want any slaw, so perhaps that was maybe the congealing agent that brought it all together.
Don't get me wrong, a bit of slaw's okay, but I would probably have it maybe once every 3 months. But I don't know if I want it with my breakfast.
Well, I don't know. I found that they put slaw on a lot of things.
Mm.
In the same way that the British like to put mayonnaise on a lot of things, you end up with a bit of slaw.
What do we put on a lot of things?
Sauce, red sauce, tomato, tomato sauce, ketchup.
We like to put a little bit of, like just a tiny bit of salad next to your dinner.
Just so your plate looks better.
Yeah, so it looks pretty, like it looks healthy.
Monte Cristo is from the Cafe Orleans. Yes.
So what is a Monte Cristo?
It is a ham, turkey, Swiss cheese. Is it sourdough bread? I don't know, some sort of fancy bread, and then it's quickly deep fried, so it doesn't go full on deep fried, but like it just
crisps up,
tempuras up a little bit,
mm.
And then you get a little bit of icing sugar on top of that.
Icing sugar,
yeah. So it's kind of like sandwich slash donut.
Okay.
Oh, actually, sorry, I googled too quick. Maybe it's called the Blue Bayou.
That's it, the Blue Bayou. Hmm.
Do you get a pickle with that?
A pickle?
You would, wouldn't you?
No, not on that one. Because you get.
You want a pickle with that?
No, you get gumbo.
Oh, that's that seafoody.
Yeah.
Soup, like thick soup.
Or you can get jambalaya as well.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Oh, it's good New Orleans
jambalaya.
Food.
Nola.
New Orleans.
All right, you wanted to throw a volley of story back at us.
Yes, so it's a two-part story. ABC in the States, not ABC Australia, had a big presentation yesterday and their boss was up talking up all the new shows and returning shows and this sort of stuff. She confirmed that Goldberg Season 7, there's been rumours of this, but they like to do a lot of tribute episodes, that the premiere this year is going to be all about National Lampoon's Vacation, which I'm very excited for.
That is amazing.
That is how they've not gotten to that and they're on Season 7 is beyond me.
Also, how has that gotten to Season 7? That is...
It's an awesome show.
Flown by.
I got a lot of time. The answer to that is very simply because at the beginning of the episode it was, it was the best of times. In the year 1980-something. That's how every episode starts. So it doesn't matter. They can go as long as they like.
Yeah, so it's not like Stranger Things that goes, now we're in 1985.
No, because this would now technically be in 1992.
Okay. Oh, yeah, of course it would. Yep.
But they've already got Schooled, which is the spin-off show, which is set in like 97. I don't know, Spice Girls are a thing, so I guess it's not
about 97.
Anyway,
I'd say.
The other part, the gossipy part. Mm. No, I'm not big on the gossip. I don't care about this sort of stuff. But it's a follow-up to what we talked about a while ago.
Yes.
Remember when they announced that Fresh Off the Boat was renewed?
Mm.
And Constance Wu was not happy.
She was.
She let Twitter know.
Yes.
Well, the ABC boss has said that the Fresh Off the Boat cast are all enthusiastic to be back to work despite Constance Wu's comments.
Oh, okay, great.
Ooh.
Oh, it's going to be awkward when they get back to work if they haven't already.
Oh, they've been back for a bit and it sounds like they smoothed things out pretty quick.
That first day must have been like, hi.
I know you're booking things left, right and centre, but the rest of us really need this.
This is our show.
Yeah.
Damn. Trailers?
Yes, I saw two trailers. One was for 1917. Did we talk about this last week?
No, we haven't.
We didn't.
But I've seen that too.
Brutal.
It is, isn't it? It's full on.
Sam Mendes. It's coming out swinging.
Yeah.
I'm on board for this movie. It looks great. If you're a British actor and you weren't in the Harry Potter series, it seems that you will be in this one.
Okay, great.
Like, honestly, if
life
you watch
comes
it.
Back around.
You watch it. It's got your Colin Firth. It's got your Benedict Cumberbatch. It's got everyone that wasn't in.
What about Hugh Grant?
He'll be in there somewhere.
He'll be there somewhere.
He'll be hiding in a foxhole. Relay this message. A little bit of that. I don't know. It looks good, but that scene of.
Oh, it's full on, isn't it?
I watched the trailer two or three times, and it starts with him running at the camera, and you're like, why is this guy running away? And then you get to the end of that trailer, and it goes back to that same shot, and you're like, holy crap, man, run.
Yeah, that guy's been through a lot and is continuing. I wonder how epic it is as in length. Like, those kind of movies, I feel like they need to be long, which means you, for me at least, I'm like, ah, oh, I finished that movie and I'm like, I don't know if I can watch that again. Like, it was amazing, but that was...
There are some people who those kinds of movies are made for, aren't there? Mm. They love the epic...
Absolutely.
3-hour long
I love slog. A long one like that. What I'm hoping with this film is I expect it'll be over 2 hours because that's how long movies are now. Mm. But 2.5 seems like the right point for me. And what I'm dreaming, what I'm really hoping for is that the first hour almost, or first 45, is just set up and it's got to be slow build. Sure, start with some bombastic before the credits or whatever, get us shook up in our seats, but have it be that night before the attack, nerves, the fear, the preparation. You know it's coming. And then when it starts, I like they get the message they have to run. I want it to be like Crank. Remember that movie with Jason Statham where they rip his heart out and he has to keep... shooting up adrenaline or finding ways to get adrenaline, and then the movie is 112 minutes of whoa! And then in the second one they cut more of his heart out and he's got a car battery in there and he has to keep electrocuting himself all the time. That's what I want this to be, but a World War One behind the high, behind the enemy lines relaying a message.
I just okay, that where you went was not where
I knew it wouldn't be.
But where you originally were, you were like the night before the build up. And I remember you saying in the episode before the Battle for Winterfell, you're like, this is potentially my favorite episode of the whole last of Game of Thrones season.
It's because everyone is, there is nothing left to lose.
Tension's there. Yeah. Nerves.
And you bear loose all your soul. You reveal all truths. There's no bullshit. Narrative concession towards hiding secrets and stuff. You just let it all out. But then, that's what I'm saying. Have that be the first half, and then the second half just batshit crazy running.
It go crazy. Lynn, you said you wanted to talk about a couple of trailers too.
I haven't seen it, but the Christopher Nolan Tenet movie trailer came out before Hobbs and Shaw. In America.
Yeah, we didn't get it here. We went and saw it.
Aw, that's unfair.
But it doesn't matter because apparently it doesn't tell you anything about the movie anyway.
Oh, really?
It's very evocative imagery and perhaps some people, but in general style, in the same way that the first trailer for Interstellar told you next to nothing about that film. Apparently he's done it again.
Oh, he's a tricky so-and-so.
It looks like it's got some cool people in it.
Who's it got?
It's got John Washington, who was in...
Black Klansman.
Ballers.
Mm. Denzel's son.
Robert Pattinson.
Oh, yeah. Who's in heaps of stuff?
Michael Caine.
What a surprise. He's
what a surprise.
He's Christopher Nolan's lucky charm. He is.
Oh.
Puts him in everything. Because you would.
Well,
you have that opportunity.
That's in your arsenal. You're going to be popping that out all opportunities. For sure.
I'm with you on that one. The Michael Caine factor.
It's a good factor to have.
So film Twitter is losing their marbles.
Hey, meanwhile,
about Christopher Nolan.
You were talking about Little Women being a thing, like another version of Little Women.
Yes.
I had no idea this was coming out. Like, I still remember my grandmother taking me to see, not the first one because that was years and years ago, but the one with Winona Ryder and... Kristen Bale, and did it have Claire Danes in it?
I can't remember if it's Claire Danes or Anna Paquin. I'm pretty sure. I think you might be right, Claire Danes. I think it's that way. I can't recall. I saw it back in the day.
Yeah.
I'll add it to my RSS feed that it's coming.
Great.
Stay on top of that news.
Emma Watson, right?
Kristen Dunst.
Dunst.
And Claire Danes, you were right.
Kristen Dunst, I have no recollection. That's a lot of big names for that era.
When was that? Was
94.
I was going to say that. Well, you answered.
Sorry.
I haven't got
Google in front of me. I'm a cheat. I'm a cheat and a liar. But the new one is old Greta
Gerwig.
So she's doing some lady things. So do a lady film. Little Women. What about a lady thing to do?
Exactly. The next step is to do Sex and the City Revisited. That's the next one. You watch. That will happen.
Yeah.
Did you have another trailer?
I did have one more trailer that we don't need to go deep into. I'm sure we've mentioned before there's a film coming called Little Monsters. It's an Australian zombie film. And we've talked about it before that we tried to get Shay to audition and she wouldn't audition for it and shake my fist. So that got confirmed that it's going to be coming out later in the year in the States, and I believe it's getting a release date a similar time for us.
Okay.
I'm very much looking forward to this, but I have a friend who worked as an extra on the film, and not just for a day, or he's like a featured zombie.
Nice.
So he's going to come in and do an episode with us when the film comes out, and he can talk some behind the scenes.
That's so exciting.
Tell a few things.
It just looks like a fun.
It does, doesn't it?
Nice.
Yeah.
Film that everyone enjoyed making and everyone will enjoy watching.
I will put $100 on the table right now that Josh Gad is going to have a horrible death in that film.
Yeah.
They've set him up that he's going to be probably ripped apart by children or something along that
line. Someone's got to be.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Well, the trailer has him approaching some children himself.
The last trailer I saw of it was a while ago.
So that was a lot more of a serious trailer and painted it far more as a horror film. And this new one that got dropped a few days has gone, nah, this is horror comedy.
This is
funny stuff.
Ah, okay. That explains the teeth bit.
Yeah, so like he bites a child, but, you know, in normal life, you can't say that or do that. But
true.
In this... It works.
There's a zombie virus going around and that's just what happens.
I got one other thing. This isn't a trailer or something, but this is something that Netflix put up the other day. They put out a contract it's a co-watching contract. So if you're going to watch a series with someone,
yeah,
if you're committing to it, that you could sign this contract together so you're both on equal terms and you understand the rules.
Oh, so you don't watch it without the other person.
Yes. They said that there's 5 rules.
Okay.
Rule number 1, I won't fall asleep.
Oh, that's a big one.
That's a big
one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Number 2, I won't get distracted by my phone, causing the other person to rewind because I missed something.
More common than you'd think, I would imagine.
Yes, and it always bothers one of the relationship more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, I won't continue watching a show without the other person present.
That's like the big no-no.
I've never done that. I'm a rubbish person to watch things with, but...
Why?
You've never jumped ahead on me.
I've never jumped ahead.
I've jumped ahead on you plenty of times. Yeah. But
do you get offended?
Lazy.
Okay.
Number 4, I won't talk whilst the show is on.
Mm.
That is a big one.
Because that can really prolong the watching session as the person with the remote control who is not talking keeps rewinding it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you end up just...
A lot of the questions that someone might have... will probably be answered within the context of the program. Let's watch together and find out.
Oh, I'm not saying you. About the film. I thought you meant just like unloading about your day.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, that's even worse.
Like,
can we focus on
day.
This, please?
Yep.
I just want to watch our show.
And number
did you remember to get eggs?
We're watching the show.
Number 5, in the event that I come across a spoiler, I will not share it with the other person.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's
a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon that. I like that. So what, you can just print it out, have each other sign it.
Yeah.
Pin it to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right next to the television.
And maybe it's linked to a chore chart or a dollar jar of penalties.
Or potentially both.
Trade sexual favours. I don't know what it's like in your household. There's all sorts of things.
The choice is endless.
That's right. Maybe one person doesn't get to enjoy any Pringles.
Oh, no. But once you start, once you pop, you can't stop.
Ah, I disagree. I can pop, eat a few, put it back in the back of the cupboard.
I can too, actually, to be honest with you. Yeah. I can do that. It's really easy. Anything else, or should we get into what we've been watching?
Let's do it.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, so we've all been and seen Muffies.
Mmm.
You guys went and saw one with a couple of big blokes. In fact, one of the blokes you've already mentioned.
Yeah.
Today. You have already mentioned that.
Yes.
Man, and his name is Jason Statham.
Statham, yes.
I was going to say Donovan for no reason. Why it came into my head. And, of course, Mr. Dwayne himself, Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
The movie being one that
the boy's Beyonce has, what's what,
Ron Funches.
Ron Funches says.
Why the boy's fiance?
He's just Beyonce for boys.
Yeah.
The Rock is.
He's just It's universal. How many times does he do that smile in the movie?
Many, many, many.
It's a killer, so, isn't it?
Yeah, we saw Hobbs and Shaw, and this is clearly The Rock's project. 110%, he is the man behind it, and kind of shows. No one said, "Hey, Dwayne,
stop smiling at the camera.
Yeah, just reel it in a touch."
Would you agree, Linz?
There's more than there's about 40 seconds, maybe even more, dedicated to his daughter trying to get him to do the eyebrow.
Oh, okay.
And like a lot of old wrestling shout outs. Yeah, they right. were good. They were like, don't get me wrong, they were very enjoyable, but they were laid on thick.
Was Jason Statham just standing there next to him going, oh, I can't wait for this to finish so I can get back into the lines again?
He was just generally displeased.
He was.
Saying oi a lot. Oi.
I didn't
like Phil Mitchell from EastEnders.
There was not a lot of opportunity for him to display his diving prowess, which
he a good diver? Is he?
He won gold for Britain, I think. He was Olympic diver for Britain.
Oh, I don't vaguely recall that.
Yeah, like 1990 or something.
Oh.
Well, way, way, way back in the day.
But he probably had hair.
He did. I think wow. That's the most surprising thing we've all heard today. Jason Statham once had air. What?
You aren't a laugh.
So, I mean, what I take from the trailers that I've seen is that the movie is a lot of fun and it's a big spectacle.
Well, the first five minutes, I didn't realise the movie had started.
Yes, you kept trying to talk to me.
How? And I kind of leaned over, I was like, is this the movie? Because I thought I was watching a really boring Idris Elba trailer and I was like, well, I'm not going to need to watch this one, am I?
Found yourself watching it.
What I've always enjoyed about Fast and the Furious franchise is its cars, its heightened realism, but still kind of within the confines of the cars of the superheroes. Mm. And there's some very proficient drivers, but they need the NOS and their buttons and the pew and all the things to go. Mm. And then this spin-off film has Idris Elba, who, no spoilers and stuff, it's in the trailers and stuff, but he's an enhanced human.
He's like a cyborg.
Well, kind of. They never actually really clearly outline what his power set is or what his power levels are, but okay. He does seem to get monumentally stronger throughout. He is referred to as Black Superman at one point.
So this is a real... this sounds very different.
It goes very superhero-y.
To Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and then it's very much the gentleman in the film. And the one woman, who is a kick-ass, pinnacle humanity.
Okay.
In terms of fighting and this sort of stuff. So there's some very outlandish action, and there is one insanely cool car chase with a helicopter and whatnot near the end that made me go like, yeah, that's Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, right.
Ludicrous car action. Ludicrous is not in the film.
Oh, that's a shame.
But, you know, I said this to you afterwards, that like I've never walked out of a movie and gone, yeah, that movie needed Vin Diesel.
That's not a sentence people say, is it?
Well, I was there I thought it might be a good film, and then towards the middle of it, I was like, oh, okay, I'm just here as moral support for my boyfriend, you know, watching his boy film, as I'd like try not to be too obvious, having a little nap. And then towards the end, I was just staying because I had a cocktail.
Yeah, right.
I found it really boring.
I enjoyed bits and pieces of it. It was... they clearly had a lot of fun making it. I feel like the fact that The Rock and Vin Diesel hate each other somehow gave some of those later Fast and the Furious movies bonus energy.
Yeah,
because
right.
There was stuff simmering behind the scenes, so you had a justifiable reason for why these two were constantly, you know, peacocking each other. Whereas this film is about two characters constantly peacocking each other, but these guys clearly love each other in real life.
Yeah, right.
And it's... I don't know, there's a
slight... chemistry's not there.
The chemistry's definitely there between them, but as buddies.
Mm.
So this wants to be that problematic buddy cop film with two guys that don't want to work together and have to learn together.
So,
and then by the end of the film, they still don't like each other.
Mm.
type thing.
But they give each other a hearty slap on the back.
Blokes.
That's just it. Yeah. It is a great film to watch on a plane.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or when it comes out nice home release and you don't have to pay specifically for it, you are going to love it.
Sunday afternoon Netflix session.
Yeah. And I imagine I would have had a different experience if I'd gone with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very much so.
Because you clearly hated it. Your recounting of that, of like, I'm 5 minutes into the movie, I'm like, ah, Idris is here, what's going on? And then you lean across and you're like, is this the movie? Like, yes, stop talking. So I instantly knew how much you were going to enjoy it. So, yes.
Oh, no. Not even Idris could save it.
But I had a spiked milkshake, and that was enjoyable.
Did you know?
The cocktails were good.
Yeah?
So yeah. If you go to Hoyt's at Lux, there's menu by menu. Where is the sauce? On every meal. It's great. There's a lot of sauce involved.
There's a lot of sauce.
But you can get a spiked milkshake. A vanilla milkshake. Spike it up.
So, first time ever?
What, spiking a milkshake?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I like a white Russian.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
But at the movies, it was a bit special.
Yeah, it's a bit swish. What was your cocktail?
Oh, I had some whiskey, dirty thing, you know, this sort of murky yellow colour.
She drinks the ends of other people's drinks.
Okay,
right. So she just asks for a cocktail where they put all the dregs in together.
Yeah, she's giving me a minesweeper. Right?
That's what it's called, a minesweeper.
Properly powered like a Petrelli brother. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I went and saw the movie Late Night.
Oh, and how was that?
It was quite fun, actually. I really enjoyed it. Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling. John Lithgow's in it as well.
I should have come with you.
Yeah, you should have. You would have enjoyed that one because I know that you're a Mindy fan.
Yeah, and Emma.
Oh, Emma's all.
Everyone loves Emma.
Someone's talking about, I might have been in an article. It was an article about Keanu Reeves movies. And they were talking about Much Ado About Nothing, and they said that boring movie where Keanu was terrible in it. I enjoyed that movie. I remember liking it. Emma Thompson was amazing in it. So I got offended by an article. But the movie itself, so Emma Thompson is a late night host in the US. She's English.
Oh, yes.
And she's been a late night host for years.
Mindy comes to inject some...
Yeah. Comedy writer.
Diversity.
Diversity. Yes, I have seen the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It was really good. Emma Thompson is, I wouldn't say she's trying to be one person. She's a few people.
It kind of looked like an SNL crossed with Devil Wears Prada type thing.
Yeah.
She's kind of a Anna Wintour, Tina Fey mix.
Which is a weird mix, right? Yeah. Where you have Meryl in Devil Wears Prada and she's quite, that's the character. Where Emma Thompson's character is, there's a lot more motivation behind why she's like that and why you might see other sides to her and whatnot. And how like cutthroat the showbiz industry is. Like this woman's been on this show for 20 odd years. And they just say to her one day, oh, we're not sure we're going to continue with you. We're going to get someone else.
So.
She's like, oh, all right. Shake it up, Mindy style. Yeah, but a really good movie. I would say you would watch that Saturday night at home with a couple of bevvies and you'd be happy with it.
Pizza?
Yeah, pizza for sure. Yeah, for sure.
I'd watch that, yeah.
There are some good laughs in it, genuine good laughs. And watching Emma Thompson pretend to be a stand-up artist, stand-up comedian, is every now and then I'm like, oh, that's right, she's not actually a stand-up comedian. It's just she's so good at acting. Mm. Yeah, she really is. All right, any other movies at the Morphies?
Not at the movies.
Did you see any other Morphies?
I did, and some of these I saw when I'm away. So I'm just going to go yay or nay through a few quick movies because I've got a long list and I want them off my phone so they're not a distraction for future weeks. Okay, number one, I saw Stuber in the States. Was good fun.
You were looking forward to watching that.
It's not a great movie by any stretch, but that's with Dave Bautista and Kumail Nanjiani.
It's like an Uber sort of driving.
Yes. Dave Bautista is a cop, he's a detective, and he has LASIK in the morning on the day that some information comes forward about the person that killed his partner.
Right.
So he basically commandeers this Uber for the day. and forces
buddy
the guy.
Buddy comedy action.
Very much. And it feels like an 80s buddy comedy.
Nice.
He is Kumail,
nothing wrong with that.
Kumail Stew is dragged kicking and screaming into a horrible situation.
Okay.
And does not get any more comfortable with it as it progresses.
Perfect.
So it's a very cool dynamic. You, looking at that poster or the trailers, you'd expect that Dave Bautista is playing the straight man. He's going to be serious and gruff, but because he is blind, it's physical comedy for him throughout.
Right.
So it's like Mr. Magoo style level. Of this
amazing
giant
Richard
man, hulking
Pryor,
man.
Yeah. Isn't he blind in?
Oh yeah, that's right.
That film with Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Blazing Saddles? No.
No, some kind of city, New York City.
Was
thing.
That like
Trading Places?
That might be it.
Hear No Evil, See No.
Oh, something like that. Yeah.
Mm. But
a long time ago.
They have a lot of fun. The other one I saw in the cinema in the States was Crawl, which is the. Disaster movie in, I want to say, yeah, Orlando, or like maybe even further south in Florida.
Hmm.
Hurricane hits a young, like, you know, early 20s girl, hasn't heard from her father, so she drives down to his house to see where he's at, and she ends up finding him. He's been working underneath the house in the crawl space.
Oh, and he hasn't known what's happened.
Well, something bad has happened to him, and he can't get out.
Oh, right, okay.
And she goes down there, and that's when they discover that in this storm, gators have come up through the service pipes a while ago and have been living in the bottom of their house breeding, and they basically get trapped in a gator pit. And this film is just basically two people trying to get out of a house during a hurricane.
That sounds stressful.
I think all of my blood just left my body.
It was
in absolute.
So it's a hard nope for
disgust.
You.
It was an intense movie. I really enjoy
like it.
The main girl is Kaya Scolaudera, who used to be on Skins.
Ah.
She was Nicholas Hoult's younger sister on Skins. So she was a background character in the first two series, and then one of the main ones in the third and fourth series.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's over in the US. And the dad is played by Barry Pepper, who you might remember as the sniper in Saving Private Ryan, or he had a bit of a hot streak in the late 90s, early 2000s of popping up and stuff.
Just give me another go.
He's a fantastic character actor. No, he's been in plenty of stuff since then. It's just that's his biggest flash.
Yeah.
As soon as you see him, you're like, Barry fucking Pepper's in this. Cool. I'm on board. It's basically just the two of them trapped in this house. It is really dramatic. There's one scene where someone's trapped in a bathroom as the windows have shattered and more water's coming in, and the gator swims into the bathroom as she hides in the shower and shuts the shower door. And you're like, how the F are you getting out of this situation? How she gets out is very creative.
Mm. No spoilers here.
No spoilers on that one. But, yeah, there's only maybe four other people that pop up throughout just to be fodder for gators. But the two main leads do a really good job, and I actually got quite invested in the personal story between the two of them. I hope they can resolve this before everything goes wrong.
No. Beautiful.
Crawl. Give it a look. Why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, sounds good.
I saw Us, finally, which was great. Plenty of people have seen Us. We don't need to go into it a lot. I prefer Get Out, but Us was hugely creepy.
The trailer was creepy. I remember Tidy watching it and going, I'm never seeing this. No. I'm not. Why are they standing there looking at? No.
Well, it's a pretty creepy film, and I had questions. I watched it while I was flying, and I had questions that I couldn't connect to Wi-Fi to answer at the end of it. So that was annoying. Things I wanted resolved right now. What was that about? But it has probably my favorite use of a hip hop song this year. Of I Got Five on it, which is Luna's classic. Pops up a few times throughout the film, and it changes context, and then there's just this really weird, haunting instrumental version. The bass line is done with heavy, heavy string section. So
gives you all the feels.
Yes. I saw Blockers, which has been on my iPad for more than a year.
Oh, wow.
It was fine.
Okay.
John Cena had a bit of a laugh. He had to butt chug a beer at one point. That was a bit much to see.
Yeah, I'm not sure I need to see that.
Is that the one where they have to, like, block their child from hooking up with someone?
For here it was called Blockers. In the States it was called Cock Blockers. I saw Shazam again because that was great fun. Really enjoyed that. And I thought that would have a bit more presence at Comic-Con, but there wasn't too much there for it yet. Shazam 2, they'll start ramping up for soon.
Maybe it's just a little bit early.
Yeah. I think it's they can't wait too long with that because of all the kid actors in the film.
Of course.
So I can't see them waiting around too long. Keeping the John Cena thing going, I watched Bumblebee.
What was that like?
It was really good. I'm annoyed at myself that I didn't go and see the movies.
Yeah, I didn't go and see it either after being told I should have.
It was the Transformer movie I'd wanted all along.
Yeah, right.
Like, a good chunk of it is set back on Cybertron and, like, original A1 line 80s looking robots.
Nice.
Yeah. Didn't see Unicron, but damn, I looked close. I want that planet. And then, look, the other movie I'll mention is one called Upgrade, which was directed by Lee Whannell.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed it because I looked at that and I went, that looks like a lot like Venom. Mm-hmm. And I'll watch Venom instead. And then I watched this and it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, right.
About a guy who's a quadriplegic who gets an AI system placed within his spine that he can communicate with his brain in order to operate his body, and the chip may have a glitch.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
Yes, it quickly turns from hey, this would be fun to...
No, I don't want
this is
that.
An awful horror movie. Mm. Awful, awful horror movie.
Another one, Linz, you don't have to put on your list then.
No, I will never show you that. But I will happily watch that movie again. It was pretty damn good.
Not too stressful?
No. It starts out nice escapist fare. You're like, oh, that'd be cool. And then, yeah, it turns. And by the end, you're like, oh, my God.
I don't know if I'll be approving of any of these.
No, I don't want to be Robocop.
All right.
Sorry, that was a big word vomit on some movies from me, but I hand it back over to you now.
Thank you very much. Linz, have you got anything else you watched?
I believe not. Well, then. A bit of a shout out to Queer Eye back for season 4.
Yeah, back on.
Season 4?
Can you believe a season? I mean, I know that they put them out, you know, twice a year, it feels like, but it's still, like, it's such a positive, feel good show, and I'm really glad that.
Good to dip in on again.
And the people are embracing it, because if you don't embrace it, those kind of feel-good shows just stop.
I watched some Queer Eye while I was away. I'd watched bits and pieces with you, just over your shoulder and stuff, but I watched a few episodes and this is really good.
I reckon it's more positive. Like, these guys, this group of guys, are more positive than the original.
That was my takeaway. They're not there to critique or...
No, they're not there to change anyone necessarily. They're there to bring somebody out, bring someone back, help them take care of themselves. Mm.
Yep.
Rather than, you know, oh, you're wearing it wrong. Or
that's the Trini and Susanna way we were talking about last week.
Do you think it's they're positioned less as experts? Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah, like, potentially.
They are experts, but they're more not relatable, but just. Average experts rather than I'm the top of my field.
I'm so good at cooking all of the things. This guy's like, I'm so good at cooking all of the things and I look good.
Yeah, they're just kind of therapists. Like, you haven't been able to work your kitchen or your wardrobe or your bathroom properly to take care of yourself. And I'm just going to show you how to do some basic things.
Make yourself feel better.
I did also watch Dance Mums with JoJo Siwa in it.
Really? No, you didn't say
Everyone's
you that.
Everyone's well excited.
So JoJo made an appearance, did she?
The best bit was when Abby went to go away in her electronic wheelchair and she clipped her assistant choreographer and dragged her chair away with her, so her assistant had to jump with her. And everyone was laughing. Oh, they had
all the shenanigans. What crazed us? Well, I was having a good laugh on the weekend rewatching the first season of Kath and Kim. Mm. It had been long enough, and it is still very, very funny.
Mm. Is it?
Oh, okay. Still very laugh good. Out loud bits, and there are bits in there now that. You can enjoy because it's 2019. So you can look at things and you just go, oh, that's right. Everybody got a phone case that was a different colour. And you all had special or crazy ringtones. I'm going to continue watching it just because I was laughing out loud. And also, I can't wait for the baby cheeses bit. I haven't gotten to that yet.
That was my DJ name.
Oh, baby cheeses.
Just cheeses. Oh, no. My name was DJ St. Brie, but the night I ran was called Cheeses.
Love it. So many levels. Great.
Got a watching suggestion?
email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Can I say one last thing that I watched?
Of course.
So there's this show that's been going called Savage Builds. It's Adam Savage, formerly of Mythbusters, who is a professional maker and builder and does weird stuff. So this show, Savage Builds, he seems to have like a almost unlimited budget to try and do really cool, weird stuff. So the very first episode, he made a working Iron Man suit that
could
hover.
That's right. I remember you talking about
it. The last two episodes I've seen, one of them he flew to New Zealand and went and hung out with Peter Jackson because Peter Jackson has like the world's largest World War I plane memorabilia museum.
No way.
And between the two of them, they worked out this like laser tag system to install on some of the planes so they could dogfight World War One fighter planes with laser tag. That was cool.
Lasers.
The next episode, it turns out he's good friends with Gary Oldman.
No way.
Because Gary Oldman is a big maker as well and loves building things.
Yeah, right.
And so Adam Savage set out to make a working replica of the ZF-1 from Fifth Element. You remember Gary Oldman has that gun with six different attachments?
Yeah.
Six different things?
Huge gun.
So he built it, and it's got a working flamethrower, a thing that shoots smoke, a net. Like,
that's hilarious.
It's so
cool.
The
amount of effort. That's.
Well, he said that the most difficult thing was not building the thing, was to making it at a size that a human could carry and still function.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the Annihilator 3000 from Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Sure.
Do you remember that?
The Annihilator 3000.
Yeah. But yeah.
That was a good gun.
If you want something real fun to watch, this Savage Builds has been very cool. He works with a different either maker, builder or celebrity each week and recreates something.
That's fun.
Awesome.
Similar sort of theme, but you still get something new and different each time.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that idea.
The next trailer I saw was with Tori, who used to be on Mythbusters, one of the B-team guys, the loud, cheeky one, and they're going to have a food fight at 50 feet. So you've got to build trebuchets and catapults, and I think I saw a pie flinger.
For the comedy lols.
Ah.
It's got to be.
Yes.
Amazing.
Anyway, that's me done watching.
That's a lot of watching. Well done.
Thanks.
All right. This is quiz time. And this quiz is called, is it a romance novel or is it a country song?
Oh.
I'll give you the real title. And you have to figure out if it's a country song or a romance novel.
You're hopeful?
Yeah. Oh.
Good luck. Accidentally Yours.
Romance novel.
I'll go country song.
It's a romance novel. It's about Kerry, who will do anything to help her sick son, including making a devil's bargain with a billionaire.
It sounds like the kind of novel that you, like Mills and Boone, get at the chemist.
Bargain with a billionaire.
That's right. It's like Indecent Proposal, but maybe not indecent. No, it would be because it's a romance novel.
Oh, my. I do declare.
Scandalous. What about A Beauty So Rare?
I'm going to say country for all of them because I'm just hearing your voice. A beauty so rare.
Everything comes out. Country song.
It's actually a novel. I thought the same thing, which is why I picked it. It's about, it's set in the Civil War. America's Civil War, a romance between
classic
people. I Fall to Pieces.
That's country song, is it?
I'm going to say romance novel.
You shouldn't have. You should have kept with country. That's Patsy Cline's 1961 hit. I don't know if it was a hit, but she sang it in 1961.
Thanks, Patsy.
Fall to Pieces. What about, what are we up to? Cowboy, Take Me Away.
Romance.
Ooh. All right, you can say romance and I'll say country.
Ha ha. Novel.
Ha
ha. What was that about? Set in Texas, there's a bull rider and something about a big city career to run a no-kill animal shelter.
You should just have all of these buzzwords and just, like, pick them out of a hat to make your own romance novel. Like,
that's a good
big
idea.
City career.
Yeah.
period drama.
It's always Civil War.
Civil War, that's it, yeah.
All right, what about this one? Forever and ever. Amen.
Country song.
I'll go novel.
It's a country song.
Yeah.
1987, Randy Travis.
Girl, Randy. Yeah.
That's a good country name, right? Country singer. Yeah. Randy. All right, we've got one last one.
Mm.
7 year ache. 7 years of it. It's a long time.
What buzzwords are we going to get in this? I'm going to go novel.
All right, I'll say country.
Yeah, it's a song by Roseanne Cash, a.k.a. Johnny Cash's daughter. Yeah. She sang it in 1981.
But I like the idea of that being a romance novel.
Oh, right.
Like your heart aches for 7 years. Cause, yeah, like maybe it's a widower or a widow or something. Alone for 7 years and suddenly... A city bumpkin who wants to run a no-kill shelter out in somewhere in Texas and steals the widower's heart away.
See, that's much better. My mind just instantly went, I've been a sex slave for 7 years.
Yeah, right.
Please let me out.
My genitals are aching for 7 years.
Death by snoo snoo.
Oh, that was good fun. And that's going to be the end of that quiz and the end of this podcast. If you do have a quiz idea, send it to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com and we'll potentially do it.
If we like it, and if not, we'll put it in the email bin.
In the bin.
That's
good.
That's a real bad sound. I'll work better for next time.
Okay.
For episode 11 for me.
We'll file it in the folder marked Things We'll Get Right On Top Of.
Linz, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And Tom.